Most people know the idea of a sea change, getting out of the rat race and moving somewhere near the sea to live a better life at a different pace and in a different community. Our guest on The Year That Made Me today has a uniquely enchanting version of that, which I guess you could also call a sea library change. It started with a more conventional sea change, but that move led Anna Iltnere to start reading as much as she could about the sea. And in 2018, she opened a sea library, a room of about 100 books all about the sea in Anna's 100-year-old house, which she opened to anyone to visit. 6 years later, there were more than 800 titles in Latvian, English, German, Spanish, and French. And the sea library has been visited by many people. Anna Iltnere, sea librarian, welcome to The Year That Made Me.
Well, it's nice to be here and nice to tell my story to a wider audience. So thank you for inviting.
Anna, could you tell us first about your family and your early years? Because you grew up in a pretty extraordinary family, didn't you?
Yes, I was born into a family of artists, architects and actors, a family of storytellers, and each working in their own medium, like painting or going on stage or building houses. And also my early years were spent in Soviet Union, although in a truly bohemian family, as they all were artists. And by the time I started school, the union had collapsed. So I was growing up in a free country. And actually, recently, I published on my blog a 10-part fairy tale memoir, The Girl with the Blue Dog, because I wanted somehow to say thank you to all my grandparents and parents, because they were very formative and shaping my love for books, for stories, for doing what I love. And so that was my kind of dedication to my early upbringing.
And that free country that you referred to, it started off being the Soviet Union, but it became Latvia. And that's where you're speaking to us from today as well.
Yes, that's true. I was 7 years old when the union collapsed, but also at the end of the 80s were already a bit like more freedom to artists and creative persons. So in a way, I never experienced a true Soviet Union. So I was already growing up in a very like a free-minded spirit.
Anna, what did you do when you finished school?
I went to university to study philosophy because it felt like I always loved to write and to read. I was born in a family of artists, but I never knew how to draw or paint. So that felt like the best way how to learn a lot of things, but not a particular profession like journalism or something like that. But as I was growing up in a circle of artists, I soon became an art journalist. And I was also an editor of a website for art art and culture. And in a way, it all led to this art, but I didn't have time to find my own voice or my own path. So when I was 30, I left the city. We moved to the seaside town, to an old house. I also left the field, the creative field. And that's how slowly, I discovered the sea.
And we'll come to that. But before we do, Anna, I understand that at the age of 21, you found out something about your family, which must really have totally changed your sense of yourself and the world.
Yes, that's true. I was already grown up when I was told that my biological father is someone else. And that now I have like another grandmother who was a very famous Latvian actress. And sadly, I met her only by her coffin in a nationwide funeral because she was like a diva and everyone knew her. And also I met my father there, my biological father. But in a way, that's also why I wrote this fairy tale memoir, The Girl with the Blue Dog, because that was the moment that I didn't lose my father, because my dad still was my dad, but I lost faith in what to trust. Because when you've grown up thinking that you were born to into this family. That was my father. He was probably there when I was born. And then you somehow have to rewrite these memories that we don't have, but we try to imagine. So in a way, I lost the trust in anything that you can believe in. But through art and through books and through everything we create, I somehow regain this field where you can trust. So in a way, I trusted the stories writers invent. I started to trust the art more than life. So maybe that was also why I imagined this, in a way, crazy place, this sea library, and created it. So maybe out of that, although it was many years later, but maybe that started in these early 20s, yes.
Yes, I can see there might be something to be said for trusting the art, not the artist. What happened in terms of the relationship you had with both your fathers and your mother?
I forgave immediately because I know that you can't find the right moment to tell things like that, especially when the years go by, and when to tell. If the kid is still a teenager, is it a good time to tell her, or when she grows up, when to tell these things? So I forgave immediately that they didn't tell me. It was weird to know that almost everyone knew except me. Mm. My cousins knew, my grandparents knew, and everyone was like, let's not say that to her. It was also, it was like to grow up in some kind of conspiracy, like how it was possible. And also my cousins told that it was so hard to like to have this like secret and not to tell me. So it was also in a way freeing for them. But my relationship I think didn't change, not with my dad. And I somehow didn't want anything to do with this other family. It was very weird to imagine some kind of brothers or some kind of other grandparents. And it was too weird for me, too dizzying. But it explained a lot when I opened his photographs. I saw my own face. Mm. So it explained a lot about my genes and things like that. So it was weird. But yes. So it changed more like inside me of what stories we tell ourselves and what stories matter. So maybe in that sense.
It's interesting because sometimes in situations like that, a person has always carried with them a sense somehow that they were different or didn't fit into a family. It sounds like that's not the experience you had though.
In a way, because I already know that I was born in a family of artists, but I never knew how to draw. And my biological father, he's like a poet and musician. So maybe that's why I was the one who was always writing, always reading and never drawing. So maybe that explains. So,
On the Year That Made Me, we are speaking with Anna Ildnere, who is the founder of the Sea Library. And Anna, I think we've got close now to the year that you've chosen as the year that made you, which, as I understand it, isn't the year that you founded the Sea Library, but is a moment which led to that. What is the year you've chosen and why?
Yes, exactly. It's 2016, and I chose it because it's when it all started, in a way, when I started to sense this path. It took two more years, but this 2016 was the year where I had the most wildest dreams and ideas, but also it was the most painful year of my life. So in 2016, we have already moved to Jūrmala, which is a sea resort town in Latvia, not far from Riga, by the Baltic Sea. So we lived there for a couple of years already in this old wooden house close to the river Lielupe and not far from the sea. And this place started to feel like home. And it was also a year where I was still on maternity leave with my youngest son. And I was already thinking of leaving the previous professional path and to find something new. And with the baby starting to sleeping through the nights, I had time to do something with my early mornings, and I started to read. I started to read about the sea, and on dark January mornings, I started reading Homer's eposes about Iliad and Odyssey, because those were the oldest stories about the sea I could find. And then Homer's books led me to James Joyce, Ulysses, because I read that it was inspired by Odyssey. But Joyce led me to Sylvia Beach, which was this amazing American bookseller who opened Shakespeare and Company in Paris in 1920s. And her passion for books and for creating a space for books and for writers and readers, it somehow inspired me very much. But in the same year, in the summer, when I had these all these inspiring ideas and this connection with the sea, I got a phone call that my dad had a car crash. And so this my dad that I had known all life, I was nearly losing him again, because in these early 20s, when I knew he's my real father, that was the first time in a way that I lost him. And now he had a car crash. And for 3 days, he was in a coma, but he recovered, but he never created art again, and he has changed. But it's weird that in these moments, these are like traumatic, but also sensing your own path. And somehow with so much love around us and so much like hope, I had all the energy to pursue my dreams, pursue my path. Maybe because you are almost lose someone, you know that the life is the way it is, and you just have to do what you want to do. So in a way, it was very hard year, but also very beautiful, because maybe I wouldn't be so brave to do something with my life if not this car crash. So you never know. That's when I continued to collect these books about the sea to try to find as much as I can. And so 2 years later, I had 100 books about the sea, and I decided to share them with everyone else and open the sea library.
What an extraordinary year, Anna. You mentioned that you started reading about the sea. When and how did you fall in love with the sea as a thing and the sea as a literary phenomenon?
So when you live in Latvia, the sea is always present. Summer holidays by the sea is like ever since I remember myself. But when I started to live here, I started to create a relationship with the sea, because I saw it in all four seasons, how it changed. And I felt this mysterious pull that many people feel, why we want to go to the sea, why we want to live by the sea, what's this magnetism? And I discovered that soon I ran out of words how to explain it. I said, oh, this is beautiful, 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 but I needed more words. So as I always turn to books and to stories, I didn't know there are so many books about the sea, and I just wanted to search some, like how writers describe it. Do they write about this strange pool, why we want to be by the sea? So slowly one book led to another. So out of lack of words, I started to collect books in a way.
And clearly you collected a very large number of them. Is it possible to give a sense of the range of books about the sea that you have collected in the Sea Library?
One of the loveliest things is that people also give books to the Sea Library like a gift. And in that way, I can discover different kinds of sea, because every reader has their own relationship with the sea, from scientific books or marine biology and sailing, etc., to very poetic books and to nonfiction and fiction, poetry, art. The range is huge. At first, I thought I will like buy Moby Dick, maybe Robinson Crusoe, maybe Homer's Epos, and I didn't know there are so much new books about the sea, like all this lots of biographical, like memoir-like books where the sea changed lives, lots of also about climate emergency and about blue humanities. There are so many new books, and I didn't expect so much. I thought I will buy like all the books about the sea and I will have them, but they keep appearing. So the range is very huge. And it's also interesting when, for example, a surfer comes to visit. He asks if I have books about surfing. If a swimmer comes, they ask if I swim because that's the only way how to experience the sea. So each person has their own like dimension, and that also brings books with this dimension.
Bringing together a collection of books about the sea is a lovely idea in and of itself. Why did you decide to open your sea library to anyone?
First was also this Sylvia Beach inspiration that I knew I want to create a space for books. And I had this dream like to open kind of bookshop by the sea or something like that, but it's too expensive. But I kept collecting and collecting these books, and I couldn't give it to all my family because there are too many stories and they were tired of me saying, read this. So I just thought maybe some strangers would love to read it. And it's a very crazy idea. But there was just one day when I announced it on social media that here, this is Sea Library. If you want to borrow a book, please. But it was really, really crazy because maybe everyone will come and steal all my books, yes. But I somehow trusted because I knew that sharing stories is the best things that you can do. And the strangest thing was that not so much borrowing books, but everyone wanted to give me books. So it was the other way around because they heard that it's a library and books from faraway countries started to flow in, books about the sea. And so the collection has grown now during these 7 years, like almost 1,000 stories about the sea. I haven't read them all, so it's a library for myself as well. But yes, so it was just to take the courage and open this place.
To extend the invitation also is one thing, then to see people accepting it, another again. How many people have come to the Sea Library?
Actually, this year I closed it to visitors for a short time because it turned into like a tourist attraction because the word spread, newspapers wrote about it, magazines wrote about it, and everyone wanted to see it. Not so much borrowing books or reading, but just to check that I was here. And so after 7 years, I closed it for a bit, just to reconnect with the readers more than these visitors. Although it was very fun and I had more than 100 visitors, so I had maybe more. But there are also a lot of who have never reached me, but we exchanged letters and I send books by post. So many ways how these friendships have formed with community of sea lovers around the world.
What sort of places have the visitors to the Sea Library come from?
Australia, America, England, also local people like retired sea captains who live in Jurmala have come. So there are like these short distances and far distances.
It's just a beautiful story. Surely it's going to be made into a movie at some point. But for the moment, I wonder if you could just tell us a couple of your favorite memories of the time when the Sea Library was open to anyone?
Yes, actually, the most favorite is about this retired sea captain who lives not far from here. And he said he wanted to visit. It was late November. It was snowing, and I was waiting and waiting. And turned out the car broke down for them. He came with his wife, and my husband went outside in the blizzard to search for them. So he brought them here, and that retired captain had a bag full of his own sea books, like old sailing books, and he wanted for them to live here in the Sea Library because he was already old and he was afraid that these books will be lost. And they had like black and white photos with their from their youth when they were sailing the Baltic Sea, and it was a very memorable evening because there were these old stories And there was this blizzard outside, and it was like a bit from like from some kind of a book itself. And we kept exchanging emails for many years later. So it was really lovely that lots of different people have found this place, not only young hipsters who want to take photos here, but also these old retired captains who want their books to live here. So it was really lovely. But also not just these visitors, but one day I sent out a kind of survey to know what people would love to read more, maybe to change the collection a bit. And one thing that a lot of people wrote me back, that it's enough for them to know that Sea Library exists. So the existence of it inspires them and gives them hope. They don't need what kind of books here is, but the idea that such place exists is enough for them. And I think that's also was a great thing to read.
Having started the Sea Library, has anyone got in touch with you and told you that they've done something similar? Is there anything else like the Sea Library that you're aware of?
I know that the idea of Sea Library inspired Nature Library that's in England. It's not only about the sea, but about everything connected to nature. But the woman who created it said that Sea Library was one of the inspirations to do it. But actually, right now, I'm writing a book about libraries connected to the sea, because there is no such thing as Sea Library. But there are many ways how they are connected. For example, floating libraries where boats are carrying books to readers in archipelagos or on islands, or libraries that are about sea, like some naval material, oceanographic material. So I want to explore all these libraries and put in one book. So after a few years, it will be published. So in a way, I want to discover other sea libraries, but this kind of library, I don't know about if exists. I think no.
It seems like it's been such a wonderful, positive experience. And has anyone abused the idea of the Sea Library or taken advantage of it?
As far as I know, no. I don't think so. So everything has been also, I think I've learned a lot from this journey to trust, because nowadays it's so hard to trust. Also, my own story was about trust and what to believe in, and to trust people that all books will be returned, to trust myself that I will figure out how to do this crazy thing without any funding. So it's a lot about trusting myself and others.
It must have, to some extent, taken over your life. Was that another part of the reason why you decided to change the way the Sea Library operates?
Yes, because also the time came when I had to return to a day job, which was also a very lovely thing that I now work at National Library of Latvia. I don't have any education in librarianship, so just having the Sea Library for a few years was enough reason for them to hire me. And I learned a lot at a real library, and I now see that my library is super crazy. It's like all these cataloging things, and I learned a lot about that in National Library. So yes, having a day job and things like that, and I had to change something, to close it for visitors, but it opened new ideas. For example, I started this Write a Letter to the Sea, where people are sending me letters that they write to the sea, and I digitize them and publish online, and everyone is invited to participate. So in a way, I had more time to think about ways how to connect these sea lovers more to books and more to sea.
Well, Anna, the idea of the Sea Library is delightful, and the story that led to it is amazing and wonderful. It's been so fantastic speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on The Year That Made Me.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
And if you'd like to find out more about the Sea Library, as I'm sure many Sunday Extra listeners will, you can go to sea-library.com. But Anna, we always finish the year that made me by asking our guests to choose a piece of music for us. What have you chosen for us and why?
I chose David Bowie, Starman. Also because 2016 was the year where he became a starman. He died in the early 2016. And David Bowie has always been there when I grow up, when I'm already grown up. And he keeps appearing in many sea books. So I think he is connected somehow to the sea more than we think. So I chose this song.
Well, here it is, David Bowie, Starman. And Anna, thank you once again.
Thank you, Julian.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.